Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we are going to start talking about season 19, Samoa. We're going to start with the first three episodes.
I cannot believe we're on season 19. That is so wild.
Yeah, this is our 24th season of Survivor that we're watching.
Yeah, wow.
Out of 45. Wow. Well, more than halfway. We do have some listener mail. Mitch wrote into us, emailed us, said, "Hey
oh,
guys."
Mitch. Hi, Mitch.
He says, "Hey guys, my girlfriend and I are loving the podcast. We actually started doing our own version of Fantasy Survivor because of you guys, and it's one of our all-time favorite things to do. Through 20 seasons of Fantasy, we each have 10 wins.
Ooh.
We are only up to season 30 now on Survivor, so we haven't gotten to listen to all of your episodes on newer seasons, but we're excited to catch up so we can listen back to all the episodes about newer seasons. Recently, we tried to create the messiest, nastiest tribe of Survivor we could think of, and as you guys are into season 19 now, I was wondering who you guys would have in your list of worst possible tribe. For reference, here is our list, with the exclusion of a few people that you haven't potted about yet. So they included Crystal from season 17, Shane from season 12, Coach, Randy from 17, Sean from season 4, Shean from 5, and Stephanie LaGrosa. He says, ideally, the worst possible season would start similar to season 10 with everyone on the same beach for a couple days and then a draft for tribes. But going up to 20 people seemed like a bit much. Anyways, wanted to get your opinions on your personal messiest tribes possible. Thanks again for introducing us to the idea of Fantasy Survivor. Makes every season so much more intense. Thanks, Mitch."
Is Mitch's list balanced by gender?
He gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names, and it's 4 guys and 3 women. So yeah,
I was surprised that they included Shein because I did think of Thailand, but Shein is not the messiest person.
Oh, I thought of yeah. So I like went through each season pretty quickly myself, like right before starting recording here, and I was like Thailand, Brian, Clay, Ted.
Yeah, all three of those. Maybe Jan. Like, if you want, like, it depends on if I want messy or if I want like problematic and toxic.
Right, so that's the idea. I was thinking about that. I think I actually wouldn't want any of those guys from Thailand because I wouldn't want to give them like the satisfaction of more screen time.
Yeah. But like Jan, I feel like just
Jan
like,
would be yeah.
Yeah, it was messy, like no strategy, just yeah. Vibes, super manipulatable, was very messy. I would maybe throw like Sue Hawk in there if I wanted to be messy.
Yeah, I was thinking trying to think other messy. He said Shane Courtney from that season also.
Man, I love Shane though.
Before I like re-looked at his list, some of mine doubled. I was like Randy, Coach, Tom from Africa, maybe.
Ooh, Tom from Africa is interesting. I was kind of thinking Lex, just of how angry he gets if anyone goes against him.
That's true. It's interesting looking back at like the old, like Richard Hatch, I don't think would do well in like modern Survivor for sure. But like, I don't even know if he would do well up to like where we're at with season like 19. Although I guess I could see in this current season we're watching, Russell is being kind of like the Richard. Like he's just like, talks people into doing stuff, like, I don't know.
I would have said the same thing to you as we finished Token Chains, and then now watching Samoa, I'm like, no, I think that Richard would be fine in Samoa. No. However, I do think Richard was a little bit too, I'm going to be me and you can just deal with it, where I feel like Russell is like, I don't like Russell, but I think that his tribe mates like him, and I don't know if Richard is capable of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that Russell is like putting on an act for people around him in a way that Richard isn't capable of doing.
But at the same time, like with Richard and a lot of the other people we've said, it's just like so many big personalities that a lot of them are going to be kind of similar to that of like, this is just who I am. And it would be lots of just clashing personalities.
Yeah, that's fair. Johnny Fairplay.
Mm-hmm. Although he was like in the All-Stars. I mean, he left very quickly, but he was fine. Like, didn't do like he. It was like watching, like thinking he's lying the whole time.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, Micronesia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Micronesia, not All-Stars. Yeah, Micronesia, where he like asked to leave because he had a kid on the way.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Richard Hatch in All-Stars, and I was like,
oh, no, 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 no.
Very bad, Chris. Do you forget about the very bad thing that he did in All-Stars?
Mm-hmm. I would say the one of the worst, like, if we're talking about making a bad season, one of the worst season premises I think we've seen was the like luxury and not tribes.
Yeah. Fiji. I was actually just going to mention Dreams from that season if I want a messy wild tribe. Lisi from that season.
Mm-hmm.
Was real wild and bad.
Was Rocky that season?
Oh yeah, Rocky. I keep trying to think of messy women. I feel like we've been listening a lot of men.
Well, it's because men are the worst.
Men are the worst. That's fair.
Here's a season. You just do a season where you cast like 10 guys. They're all in the same tribe. And you tell them there's another tribe of women. And that eventually they're going to merge. But it's just those 10 dudes. And they're just battling it out against each other.
I have seen a lot of people talking online about like Dreams for like a season 50. Where they essentially have like two games happening at the same time, and then when they merge, those two merge tribes start the game over essentially against each other, which sounds very fun to me but would never happen because it would be wildly expensive and super elaborate to do.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun thing that I would hear like that Australia Survivor's doing, but they would never do here.
Oh yeah, because Australian Survivor already goes like 50 some days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I will say, for most of the names we've said, it would make for an interesting season. I do get, like, tired of people who are just, like, bad, like, racist and bigoted or whatever. Like, this season, we're going up through episode 3, and I was very happy to see the person go in episode 3, because I couldn't stand that guy, because he sucks shit.
Yeah, so I agree. I was telling someone this morning that who has seen this season and has been waiting for me to get to this season because they wanted to talk to me about it. I was like, I gotta say, they got rid of a guy in episode 3. And I was like, man, that guy sucks. What does it say about me that I hate Russell more than I hate that guy, I think?
Oh, not me. I like was angry watching at this guy. Like I seething. I hate this guy.
I mean, I'm with you on that. I just was like, I think I got some satisfaction that everyone knew that that guy sucked. But the fact that no one knows that Russell sucks makes me more upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how the season plays out, but we should probably talk about the season. So thanks for writing in, Mitch. Let us know how your Fantasy Survivor ends up going, especially your exciting 10v10 wins.
And let us know if you guys do any fun punishments or rewards.
Yeah, we do need ideas for that. Or listeners, if you have interesting ideas that Patrick and I can do when we get into season 46, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com for rewards for fantasy. All right, let's talk about Samoa.
Yeah.
Season 19. We start. They immediately have to vote for a leader.
Yeah, this gave me Token Chains vibes. Like, the opposite of Token Chains, but... I appreciate the, like, I'm kind of really into the vote for someone. You have had zero talk. Vote for someone to do something based off of just their vibe. Now, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's also mildly problematic. I like this version of it better where you're voting for a leader rather than voting someone off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the, mostly I like, how are you going to describe this person that you've never met? I think that's very fun.
Yeah. So Galu tribe votes for Russell.
Not Russell Hance, Russell Swan.
Russell Swan, yeah, I was looking up his last name. Russell Swan. And Foa Foa votes for Mick. They're given necklaces. And then they immediately like get into a challenge where they're told to pick strong swimmers. And so Jason and
Jason.
John are chosen, then pick strong people where they pick Russell, Hans, and Eric. And then agile people, they pick Marisa and Yasmin. And then smart people, they pick Liz and Shambo. And they do like a challenge with several legs where the reward is Flint. I thought this was a cool idea for like a first challenge to start the season off by like picking people for all these different things and then just going
Yeah,
right into it.
I do like that it was the leader picking this. Like it was not the team voting for it again or deciding. Like they voted for their leader, so now the leader has to make all of these bonus judgments, which like could really shoot them in the foot. It doesn't seem to do that. They all seem to be fine with it, but it is like a very fascinating thing. I was when Jason gets voted or gets chosen to do the swimming. He has a little confessional of like, man, I am a really good swimmer. I was doing water polo forever. I did not expect to get picked for that because stereotypically black men are not great at swimming. Which I mean, I felt a little bit bad about this, but like when he picked Jason, I was like, ooh, that like is maybe not a good idea stereotypically. Which like the reason I say I only feel a little bit bad about that is because there's part of that that is like stereotype and not okay. There's also part of that that is there are systemic reasons why like black people were not allowed to go to pools, and like there's a systemic part of the American black population being bad at swimming is a result of systemic racism that should be acknowledged. But yeah, there's another part when Liz similarly is like, oh, I probably just got chosen to be smart because I was Asian, and I was like, she also just looked the most put together and professional and like grown up of the people there. But I was like, I'm not sure if that's legit or not, but like I probably would have chosen you for smart also. Totally foreign from that.
Yeah, based off of how they pick teams, it ends up being decently close race in this challenge, but Foa Foa gets a lead and gets the win. So they get Flint. So we get to spend some time with each of the tribes. Foa Foa, we see this is Russell Hance is on this tribe. He is hoping to plant a secret alliance with each one of these dumb girls. He says, quote, unquote. He talks about, well, he's telling this whole story about like living through this, like in New Orleans, living through a storm. And I was like, I think he's talking about living through Katrina. And then it turns out the entire story was made up and it was
Yeah,
all a
he is
lie.
definitely talking about Katrina. He mentions Katrina. I very much during the story was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't hate this guy because I'd already hated him from the Dumb Girls Alliance thing. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't hate this guy quite so much. And then he immediately is like, that was all a lie. I just wanted them to feel sorry for me. And I was like, oh, fuck this guy. Yeah, the Dumb Girls Alliance that he forms, he really is, it's less of a alliance group. It is more of like individual alliances, which each of these women are with Ashley, Natalie, Marisa, Liz, and then he also forms one with Betsy, who is older, and he called it something different. He said it wasn't a dumb girl alliance. It was a oh, it was something else. It was something else with Betsy because she was
Yeah, I don't have that noted down.
he didn't call her a dumb blonde.
With the other tribe at Galoo, they're planning to build shelter, but they're maybe doing some over planning of it. Some are eager to just like start working, while others are like very carefully like trying to plan everything out. We actually like in these first three episodes don't get a whole lot of Galoo time because Foa Foa just keeps losing.
Yeah, agreed. We do get a lot of Shambo, who seems a little bit pissed about how things are running around camp.
We go to jump ahead to day three where they have the immunity challenge where they would have
Oh,
to rate.
wait, sorry. You skipped Russell while everyone is sleeping, dumping out everyone's canteens and burning socks.
I definitely missed that because that doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
What?
I don't remember
Did you
that.
watch on Paramount Plus?
I think so.
You must have like missed this. After the Katrina story, he then, while everyone is sleeping, he sneaks out and dumps out everybody's water canteens to cause chaos so that they all like start turning on each other. and throws Jason's socks in the fire. And he, like, finds them burnt in the morning. And is like, what the fuck happened? And, like, in the morning, then people are, like, kind of, like, arguing with each other and annoyed that they don't have water. And, like, something happened. And, like, oh, someone must have drinking out of my water canteen thinking it was theirs. And blah, blah, blah. But, like, everyone just kind of, like, annoyed. And he's like, yeah, I want them all to be annoyed. He's, yeah, like, I don't causing remember that. This chaos. Oh, that's that is the... when I was like, okay, this guy is, like, doing interesting strategic moves, but he's a fucking dick.
Yeah. Interesting.
I am so shocked that you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I, like, because I have notes after this, so it's not like I, yeah, I don't know what happened. That is something that wouldn't be allowed, like, today in Survivor. Like, you can't destroy people's stuff.
Yeah, I was like, I cannot believe that he's allowed to just throw this guy's socks in the fire and that, like, production isn't stopping him. I think it's more of like, oh, this is fun TV, so we're gonna let it happen. But I feel like it would be it was real bullshit watching it.
Yeah. Interesting. So we eventually get to the immunity challenge. They have to race across obstacles carrying ropes and pull a crate to the end, disassemble the crate, and then use the pieces to solve a puzzle. Galoo wins this one. Which I said, I noted, good for them after some shit talking from Foa Foa before the challenge started. And so we spend the rest of the episode with Foa Foa. Ashley's name is getting thrown around, because she's weak physically. Marisa tells Russell she's wary of him since he's been talking with everyone. And he takes this to others as reasons that she needs to go. And I noted, I realized this here, and then I probably put this in every episode we've watched. Russell just thinks he's in charge of everything.
Yeah, to be fair, they are allowing him to be in charge of everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's true in the third episode.
That's fair.
Yeah.
There is an interesting point that Ashley brings up at Tribal Council. I kind of miss these old tribal councils where people are, like, much more open about, like, yeah, I want to vote for this person because they're weak, blah, blah, blah. But Ashley is like, I, like, run consistently. I do great cardio. Like, I am a fast, athletic person. Like, I just, because I can't lift a lot of weight does not mean that I am, like, going to be a problem for us in challenges, which I appreciated her, like, standing up for herself in this way. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, like, she might be, like, a smaller, more petite woman, but she doesn't mean that she's, like, so little of the challenges is, like, let's lift this heavy weight.
Right.
I feel like her, like, speed and agility might be more important in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Mike has a great line that I noted down. I quoted from this tribal council. He says, this is a dog-eat-dog game, and we're all wearing milk-bone underwear. I noted that Ben is an ass. Because he yells at somebody to assert themselves and answer the question. But then ultimately Marisa gets voted out 7-3. And we head into the second episode, Taking Candy from a Baby, where we start off with Foa Foa. Russell's happy to have gotten rid of Marisa. He says, she's a strong woman. You can't have that out here. Can't have that.
Yeah. He has a little conversation with Betsy, saying, like, Betsy doesn't trust him. What the hell? And she's like, yeah, I don't really trust you. It's like, sorry. Like, doesn't mean that we can't, like, talk and work together a little bit. But, like, yeah, I don't trust you. Which I'm like, yeah, good for Betsy. But also, I don't think that's going to go well for you.
Yeah, it was just a nice little conversation of, like, all right, we both agree we don't trust each other. But let's just keep going.
Right.
They catch a lizard, multiple lizards throughout the next, like, episode or two that they roast in the fire. Jason is clearing things up with Russell. Russell says he got rid of Marisa because she would be powerful. Russell also says he's going to start looking for the idol, which he doesn't keep a secret. He's, like, telling people, like, hey, I'm looking for the idol. Like, literally putting his head inside of a tree trunk and where he does find it and then hides it in his underwear real quick. So it doesn't reveal.
It's made a big point that, like, this is the first time that anyone has found an idol without a clue. Which, like, because we have watched so much new era Survivor, doesn't feel like a big deal to me. But mm-hmm. I'm sure that it was at the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, think just, like, in Token Sheens when it's, like, there's one idol and we're going to repeatedly give, like, 10 clues to it. Because that's the only idol we hid.
And, like, it was entry male, which was like a pretty obvious spot for it.
No, it wasn't by, was that tree male?
Token Chiefs, guess, it was like in
oh,
like
yeah, the Token whole Chiefs. Yeah. I meant the one. This...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he hides it in his underwear, but then immediately goes and takes it to
Jason,
to like try to get trust, and then he buries it. I wasn't super clear. It looked like he buried it like right by the tree he found it, but I don't know if that was the case or not.
Oh, I didn't pay any attention to like where it was around camp. I just saw that he buried it.
I only noted because it seemed like he buried it like right outside the tree that he found it, in which case I was like, that doesn't make, like, you shouldn't do that, because then if people get clues for where it is, they might like dig around there. So he probably didn't do that because he doesn't seem like dumb, but who knows. There's also some discussion of strength around this tribe, people talking of getting rid of Mike and Betsy because they're the older people. We get very little time with Galoo before the challenge.
Or after the challenge.
Or after the challenge. Yeah, I was surprised we got so little of them before, because how it plays out, like, we don't see them after the challenge. But the only time we get before was just basically of Yasmin being like, it sucks living in the outdoors. Like, I don't like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that was all.
She does. Oh, man. I wish that I would have written down the quote. Because I just have, like, she was complaining about it. And then now I'm remembering Kayla laughing really hard at her quote of basically saying, like, why the hell do people camp for fun? Like, what, why is this happening?
She said something like, who invented like camping outside or living outside?
She said, who invented liking the outdoors? That's what it was.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Then we head to this episode's challenge, which is a combined reward and immunity challenge. This episode and the next episode have that. One thing I noted was their tree mail was that they got paint to like paint themselves like warriors. And then I felt like Jeff didn't acknowledge it at all.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like, come on, Jeff, like at least like say something about it. They find out that the reward is fishing gear and a twist that will be revealed later. And they have to fight for like balls and shoot baskets. And I just noted this is very violent, full on tackling and body slamming. So much
but,
so that
you
Jeff,
know, until a certain point, it's just like there's on the edge of problematic, Chris.
On the edge of it. Just yeah, they're on the edge of getting nasty. And I was like, the edge, like Jeff, this is so violent.
Yeah, it was very bad.
And then Ben gets kicked out of the challenge, like for, I mean, not something great, but also something that was like so mild compared to stuff we'd seen, where he just like kicks some guy's legs out from under him.
Okay, so when I saw it in the episode, I was like, wait, that is the thing that you're going to call him? Like, he just like tripped him. And then I saw there was like a delay before I then watched episode 3 a couple days later, and it showed it in the like recap of what we've seen. And I was like, oh, no, that did look bad. Like, separated from watching the rest of the challenge, it looked very bad. He, like, kicked the guy down, basically.
Yeah, and I do think that the way he kicked him wasn't, like, trying to sweep his leg out. It was like, I'm going to kick the side of this guy's leg in to make him, like, fall down. And I was like,
ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, that, I understand why that was.
Which I felt like, oh, Jeff said, he made some comment about how this is the, like, Ben, how's it feel to be the first person in Survivor history to be like removed from a challenge? But in Thailand, didn't that happen to a few people during like for choking and stuff?
Yeah, so I saw an explanation of this that I don't find very like convincing,
like a technicality or something.
It was that like there were explicit rules in Thailand of like hands off of necks, basically, or like no striking outside of the strike zone. And so they were breaking the rules of a challenge and got evicted, where this was like a, you are too intense and Jeff is making a judgment call and evicting you from the challenge, which I don't find that to be like a satisfying distinction. I would guess that Jeff kind of just forgot about Thailand when he said that.
Yeah.
But
so Glue wins. The twist is slightly different than Token Sheen's, where, or very different, it's not like an Exile Island, but they get to pick somebody, and instead of sending them to Exile Island, they pick somebody from their own, the winner's team, to go live at loser camp and tell tribal council and watch tribal council. And they pick Yasmin to do this. I thought this was a cool twist.
Yeah.
They could also like up it to do the double thing where like you pick a loser who's going to be safe from tribal and they come live at your camp.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. I was the person that goes and watches, then watches tribal council, but then gets sent away right before they start voting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what harm would it be for them to also see the vote? I'm not sure why they don't get to see that.
Yeah, because there's no like conversation from it. It's just the vote reveal. I don't know.
And like, that's never been like a, oh, we can't let them know that this person was voted out unanimously, well, versus like it being tight. It's like, that's very rare that that matters.
Yeah, that was a huge plot point back in like, fuck, I don't know, Australia or something. It was a plot point about like, because one of the tiebreaker used to be, just most votes against you or something at some point. I remember that being a huge plot
point. Yeah, previous votes against. Yeah, so that was a,
But that's not the case anymore. Tiebreaker
anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, so we do see a little bit of time with Galoo here where they fish with their new gear, where Shambo goes fishing, but basically just gets far from them and spends some time swimming around. And in that process, she loses the mouthpiece to the snorkel, which they're not happy about. That's reminded me of, was it Pearl Islands? When somebody goes swimming and loses the, or goes fishing and loses the like spear, and Russell, or not Russell, Rupert swims the ocean and finds it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wild.
Yeah, if Rupert was here, he would go swim in that swamp and he would find that mouthpiece.
That's true.
Then we spend the rest of the episode with Foa Foa. Yasmin starts off real poorly by saying, listen, I'm not an enemy, but I want to help you guys strategize, because so far it's like taking candy from a baby. And I was like, damn, Yasmin, like, what are you doing?
I was like, Yasmin, it is episode 2. Like... It is not quite taking candy from a baby. You have beat them twice. Maybe slow your roll.
Yeah. That doesn't, even if it's episode 5 and they've been winning, like, that is not the way to approach a bunch of people who just lost. Yasmin does get a clue for the idol guiding to where the clue, because we know Russell already found it, the clue makes sense. Like, it's like, oh yeah, it's up a tree or whatever. Yasmin meets with Ben separately, says that he took cheap shots in the challenge and he shouldn't have been tackling women. He keeps calling her Jasmine instead of Yasmin.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That's awful.
Like, repeatedly. And he says all sorts of real bad stuff in confessionals. He's fucking
blatantly
racist. Yeah.
I noted, because this is getting into episode 3 where this is discussed a little bit more, but like, he keeps calling her ghetto trash and he later says that's not a race thing, it's based off of like where you're from. But I'm like, but you didn't have a conversation with Yasmin about the neighborhood
where she's from,
grew up in,
right?
Like, or where she's from, so you're assuming that based off of her race.
No, it's just classic, like, I'm not racist, blah 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 blah.
Exactly.
Blah, blah.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, it was super gross and transparent.
We get some time at night when everybody's trying to sleep. Ben is cutting wood and making lots of noise. Some more stuff of Ben being bad. And then the next day, Betsy's going around trying to whip up votes against Ben because she knows that since she's one of the older people, she is on the chopping block, which I'm realizing at this moment, when we started talking about the twist, I skipped over Mike getting medevaced. At the end of the challenge, Mike stayed back for a med check because he was having trouble breathing, he's lightheaded, he had very low blood pressure, and so the doctor said that he needs to be medically evacuated. And even though it was technically after the challenge, they still had tribal council, which usually I feel like their thing is if a medical evacuation happens after tribal, they don't do it, or after the immunity challenge, they don't do a tribal.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I wonder if they like were like, nah, we'll just take out a double of it elimination later.
Yeah, they were probably like, we started the season with 20 people. We need to get rid of them.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
So Mike leaves, which means I was reminded of that because Betsy was worried because she's the oldest person left on their tribe that she is on the chopping block. So she's trying to whip up votes against Ben because he sucks. And we head to tribal council. There's some talk of Ben being abrasive. Betsy wonders like out loud to the group, like, why is Ben not the clear boot here? He like starts fights with people, and Ben clarifies, says he doesn't start fights, but if people bring one to him, he'll participate or something like that.
Which is just not true.
Mm-hmm. And Betsy gets voted out 7-1 as we head into the third episode. It's called a Russell scene.
Which puts us at 7 people left on Foa Foa and all 10 left on the list. Yeah. So that's rough. Before we get into episode 3, Chris, I want to play a little game.
I like games.
I want to talk about this was this episode was from September 2009, or these episodes were end of September 2009. Mm-hmm. And I hear you that in the past I've just been like, name the top music from September 2009, and that is a little bit too hard, or top movies or whatever. So instead, I'm going to give you some clues, which I've done this before. I'm going to focus on music this time. And I'm going to do the thing that has been done in Hey Riddle Riddle before, where I'm going to read you the lyrics to some music and make you find the songs. These are all, I have six of them, the top six songs, end of September 2009.
These are like in America, because we ran Billboard this before.
Billboard Hot 100.
Okay.
Billboard Hot 100, top six songs. I know five of these six songs, like immediately off the top of my head. Because of that, I cannot start at the beginning of these songs. I have to kind of go somewhere in the middle. Okay, this one, Tonight's the night. Let's live it up. I got my money. Let's spend it up. Go out and smash it like, oh my God. Jump off that sofa. Let's kick it off.
Yeah. Fill up the cup. Mazel tov. Is that Party Rock Anthem? Is that what it's called?
Oh, no. Similar song, similar time frame, but no.
Is it by the band 303?
No. It has Fergie in it.
Mm-hmm. So it's Black Eyed Peas.
Let's paint this town. We'll shut it down. Let's burn the roof. And then we'll do it again. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it and do it and do it. Let's live it up. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because I
got a feeling.
Got a feeling.
Man, that song was everywhere.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that it made a lot of sense that you mixed it up with Party Rock Anthem and also 303. Those were great guesses. Number two song in the country. I'll start with the first verse. You ought to know, tonight is the night to let it go. Put on a show. I want to see how you lose control. So leave it behind, because we have a night to get away. So come on and fly with me as we make our great escape. You're looking confused enough that I'm going to go ahead and read the chorus. So baby, don't worry. You are my only. You won't be lonely. Even if the sky is falling down.
Yeah, falling down, down, down. I'm so bad with music. I would recognize the song hearing it, but I couldn't tell you either artist or song title. Falling Down would be my guess for the title.
Down is the title. I was like, down. I think that you could guess the title. It's Down by Jayshon.
Jayshon.
This one.
Like Jason.
I'm going to get a deep cut for this one, I think. Feel like hopping on a flight back to my hometown tonight. Something stops me every time the DJ plays my song.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA.
Yeah. I was like,
when you said hopping on a flight, I was like, okay, well.
Yeah. Do not know where I could pull a line from that song without it being immediately obvious. This is the one that I didn't know, so good luck. Hear this, feel it coming in the air, hear the screams from everywhere. I'm addicted to the thrill. It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who's going to run this town tonight. We are. Yeah, I said it. We are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Get your fatigues on, all black everything. Black cards, black cars, all black everything. And our girls are blackbirds, riding with they diligence. I get more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is La Familia. I'll explain later. I'm going to skip down because this is a rap verse.
I mean, I'm just looking it up at this point. I'm addicted to the thrill part. I like recognize.
I know. As I was reading that, I was like, oh, wait, I do know this part.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be able to pull this out, but I do know the song.
It's called Run This Town by Jeezy.
Jeezy and Rihanna and Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been roaming around.
I've been always roaming looking around, looking down the sea.
Painted faces fill the places I can't reach. You know that I could. You know that I could.
Is this Kings of Leon?
It is Kings of Leon.
Use somebody?
Use somebody. Yep. Last
one.
Everything.
I took everything I had.
Did it? Because I said two words and you were like, I know this song.
Yeah. Yeah, but you saw how confidently I went to the mic and then immediately went to like whispers because I was like, oh no.
That's fair. Where do I go in this song? Standing by and waiting at your back door. All this time. How could you not know, baby?
Is this about title anal sex?
Song, title of song. What?
What?
What did you say?
So this is about anal sex?
Oh, I'm pretty sure not, based off of...
Well, from what you said so far, it was like standing by, waiting at the back door. How did you not know, or something, something.
Oh, I remember you driving to my house in the middle of the night. I'm the one who makes you laugh when you know you're about to cry. And I know your favorite songs. And you tell me about your dreams, think I know where you belong. Think I know. It's with me.
I don't know this one at all.
You do.
I mean, I'm sure I do.
Can't you see that I'm the one who understands? Been here all along. So why can't you see? Title of song. You're on the phone with your girlfriend. It's your humor like I do. I'm in the room. It's a typical Tuesday night. I'm listening to the kind of music she doesn't like.
Man, what's the name
of it? And she'll never know your story like I do.
Is this? No. What is this song called?
But she wears short skirts.
Right. And I wear sneakers?
T-shirts.
That makes a lot more sense. It's Taylor Swift, but I blanked it on the song title. And yeah, it's probably not about anal sex, but who knows?
If you could see that I'm the one who understands you, been here all along, so why can't you see?
You belong with me.
Yeah, that's the title. Man, I feel like I gotta report you to Maya for taking so long on that one.
Yeah, well, she wouldn't have known Kings of Leon, so.
That's fair. You did pretty good on this. Okay, I stopped at the top six. I was going to do top five, and then I saw that top six was Taylor Swift, so I went along with that. I didn't want to do top 10, but because that was too many. But 9 and 10 were What You Say by Jason Derulo, and 10 was Best I Ever Had by Drake.
Wait, what were 7 and 8?
Obsessed by Mariah Carey and Hotel Room Service by Pitbull. I don't think I know either of those songs. But that was my freshman year of college, so those songs really take me back.
That was my first year teaching. I started teaching fall 2009.
Yeah, Okay, so anyway, thanks for that little interlude.
Yeah, if you do a movie one, I promise I'll do better. Well, I think I will do better with movies. Music.
I think that I would need to do, like, saying people in the cast and getting, like, more and more obvious with that.
Yeah. There's a podcast I listen to called Doug Loves Movies, where he doesn't do this game so much anymore. He used to do a game where it was competitive, so like two players would like bid names, and they'd be like, I can do this movie in 8 names, and he would give like the top 8 people, starting from like, or not the top, it would be like, okay, I have 20 names, and they're like, I can do it in 8, like if they say 15 names, he starts from the bottom, so like he doesn't say the top billed people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, man, 2009. That's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, it's called a Russell Seed.
Is this the first time that a contestant's name was in the title of an episode?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would just guess no. But it seems like it could be. Okay. You know what? It probably is.
I feel like it is. I'm just going to say that it is. And
first and only.
Wait, is that true?
I don't know. We can just say it, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess we can say anything.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit to actually look up, so I'm not.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
So we start Amfofa Day 7. There's, I noticed, and I was like, maybe I just missed something, and I looked it up afterward. This is not a three-day cycle. Tribal Council is on day 8 of this episode, not day 9.
Well, there's 20 contestants, Chris. They got to speed things up.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about that. I was just like, it was like, they said it was day 8, and then later, like a few minutes later, they're like, we're going to Tribal Council. And I was like, wait, what? What did I miss? When's day 9? That threw me off, because I always think of like classic Survivor as being three-day cycles. Mick to Jason, that Ben needs to be the next to go. Jason says Ben is a mental plague. Ben is training people on how to start a fire with flint. And then goes on to say that the women won't be able to do it because they have small hands and they're weak. Russell to Ben talks to Ben that Ashley was gunning for him, and he wants to blindside her. He says you plant that seed in their brain and it grows. It's called a Russell seed.
That's the name of the episode.
On Glue, they're doing some group yoga, and they get tree mail, which is swimsuits.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, why didn't they just start them off with swimsuits? They're like, no, you got to last a week, and then we'll give you swimsuits.
Do you think that those were swimsuits that they were provided, or swimsuits that they, like, brought with them?
I think it's, like, their swimsuits.
Just Shambo seemed upset about her own swimsuit, and I was surprised by that.
Well, no, she was like, I have my, like, sports bra or whatever.
Oh, I viewed that as annoyed that she has to wear the sports bra.
Oh.
Maybe she was just annoyed that she was being asked the question.
Maybe, or maybe in comparison to the other women, or maybe it's like the instructions in the Trimo were like, you have to wear a swimsuit for the challenge, and maybe she didn't want to do that.
Oh, that makes sense.
So we go to the reward and immunity challenge, which Jeff is like, this challenge is designed for 6v6, so both tribes have to sit people out. And I was like, what the fuck, Jeff? Like, yeah, you get to decide.
Yeah, plan this for later on.
Like, theoretically, at this point, you would have even had another person because you wouldn't have had a medevac by this point. So, like, why would you have this challenge designed to be right now?
Yeah, like at this point, it could have been 9-9.
Yeah, like, it's as lopsided as it could possibly be at this point, and still the losing team has to sit somebody out. Yeah, that was just really weird. I was like, why? Like, were they just, like, so excited for this one they couldn't wait? Like, what the fuck? It was weird. But they have people have to swim to get a crate. But on the swim to get the crate, there's people who can, like, fight you to hold you back from going to get the crate. And then once they have all four crates back to land, they have to make a tower with them where they show four different colors on each side. The reward is candles, pillows, and mats to sleep on. And there's not a ton of, like, water wrestling, a little bit, but it's much less violent than we saw in the last episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just, like, less of the challenge. It's more of just, like, you can try to stop them, but, like, once they're out of the attack zone, you keep going.
Mm-hmm. Glue wins this, and then Jeff says that they can choose that reward that he offered, or they can switch to, instead of a comfort reward, a function reward that has, like, some cooking stuff and a tarp. And it's the team captain from Russell Swan from the first episode, the leader, who gets to make the decision, and he chooses comfort because he knows it'll make the women happy, is what he says. And they also choose to send Shambo to Foa Foa to be the person who can watch their tribe and tribal council. And we spend the next...
Which, I was like, okay, sure, comfort, like, if you think that that's going to make your tribe happy, that's fine. Later on, people complain about this. Specifically the other men on his tribe seem to complain about this and think that he was making a bad choice. But one of them mentions that in the option that he didn't choose, there was a tarp. Mm-hmm. He could have gotten a tarp. And I'm like, that is more... A tarp is worth more than anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the big thing of, it being a tarp. Yeah.
Which, like, I don't think... Why would he not choose the tarp?
I don't think it's rained yet. And so, like, because the guy angry about the tarp. He's like, well, I guess hopefully it doesn't rain the rest of the time we're here.
Right.
Because it didn't look like their shelter was set up for rain at all. And that tarp certainly would be helpful. But yeah, he did not pick that. We spend the rest of the time with Foa Foa and Patrick. There's a Grey's Anatomy reference.
No, there was?
Yeah. Shambo says, oh, you're Mick? We call you Mick Dreamy.
Oh, I didn't catch that for some reason. I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah.
Man, Grey's Anatomy, boy howdy, really falling off. Christina's gone. And
I mean, she's the best. And so once she leaves, is the it's best. Like, why even bother?
I knew that she would leave eventually. Like, it was pretty clear throughout the season that she was going to leave. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm sad to lose Christina. Did not realize that she was like the glue holding the show together. Just everything starts breaking down. It's been a wild few episodes since then.
Yeah. And she pretty much is gone. There's one episode where there's some Meredith stuff goes down and Christina writes a letter to Meredith that is so good. So just wait for that. That's good.
Oh, that's exciting. Just got to watch like 8 more seasons before that happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does take a while. Well, yeah, I don't remember. I think it's before COVID. Yeah. Anyways, so Shambo says that they call Mick McDreamy. Shambo is very friendly with everybody. She talks about how she's kind of like clashing with her own tribe. I thought being friendly with everybody was good, but then when she started revealing that she doesn't get along with her old tribe, I didn't know if that was the smartest move, but now that I'm saying it, maybe it is a good move because then she could like be a number for them at Merge or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I had thought the same thing. And then other people are like, but maybe that's just a ploy to get close to us. And I was like, yeah, I don't feel like you just can't win here.
Mm-hmm. Shambo reads the idol clues, which the second clue, it just makes it a little bit more clear about like looking in a tree.
I think a lot more. I think the first clue was not good enough. And the second clue is like, yeah, you could find it.
Yeah. And it also says that it's like within sight of camp or something like that, or like
fire. Of their fire.
More talk of people wanting Ben gone. Jason said that he would quit if Ben doesn't go. He can't stand the racist comments. Ashley says, quote, Natalie, if I get kicked out, I'm leaving you my sweater and tennis shoes. And I think Natalie's sweater is the Survivor meme thing that is like, it's like some sort of Survivor joke of like at tribal council, somebody asks Natalie for a sweater and she doesn't give it. Or there's some Survivor meme I've seen online that deals with a sweater and Natalie, I think.
Oh.
So when that happened, I was like, wait.
I've seen that meme. I thought it was like Angelina in something like that.
I mean, it might not be the season, but there could be other Natalies, but I was like, Natalie and sweater. I was like, I think this is a Survivor meme, maybe. Maybe this is going to come back. We'll see.
Oh, it could be interesting. Nothing. Okay.
What else do I have? Russell talks.
Who asked for her sweater? Or who's
Ashley.
Ashley. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Russell talks to Liz and Mick, says that Ashley should go next. Mick fills in Russell on where Jason is at. Russell gives him his word that Ben will be next after Ashley. And Russell shows his idol to Mick as well. Shambo teaches some people around camp some tricks with like, I don't know, pulling like leaves off of a branch and making a torch from it.
Yeah, that was cool.
She tries to go looking for the idol, digging by where that tree is. Jason asks Russell why Ben can't be next, and that Ben doesn't do anything in challenges. And Russell says that he's worried about a 3v3 men-women split, that the women will like ally against them. Yeah, we get a tiny bit of Galoo of the women enjoying their comfort rewards. We already talked about how some of the guys were wishing they had the tarp. And we have Tribal Council.
There is a little bit more before Tribal Council where Foa Foa, where Russell kind of is like, man, I really want to keep Ben around because like I like having discord on the tribe, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make that happen. And he like admits that, which is good.
Mm. Yeah, so that's I mentioned earlier in this episode that we're recording that this is where Russell was not necessarily in charge of this. It was like he was pushed into it.
Yeah.
Ben says that he's voting out Ashley because she's weak. Jason calls out Ben for yelling and bullying. He says also earlier in Tribal Council that he would gladly trade Shambo for Ben. Ben tries to defend his racist comments poorly.
There is some interesting for the time. Like I was, Jason is like, if you don't realize that what you said was racial, then you are ignorant because you need to get educated on why those things that you're saying are harmful. And it felt like a like 2020 conversation happening in 2009 that I was kind of surprised by. I was surprised that Survivor showed it. Not surprised that Jason would know that because I think the Black community has been having those conversations for decades.
It was just another example of like a Black person having to educate a white person on why he's.
But I mostly was like this conversation of like, if you know more about the history of race in America, then you would understand why that is problematic. Feels like not a super common conversation in 2009. So I was kind of surprised that it was on Survivor, I guess. Like, it felt a little bit ahead of its time.
Fortunately, we got to see Ben get voted out 6-1. Because that guy sucks.
Yes.
So that ends the episodes that we're going to talk about this week. Next week, we're going to talk about 4 episodes. Yeah, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Which we are doing so we can spend more time focusing on after the merge. That will take us up to the merge.
Yeah. Yeah, so next week we'll do 4, 5, 6, 7. After that, we'll do 8, 9, 10. And then 11, 12, 13, and then we'll wrap up the season the week after that before we get into Survivor 46, which I have not been watching. They keep releasing the casting videos that people submitted for like all the different contestants that are going to be in 46. I have not been watching those. I don't know if you've been watching any of them.
I have not watched any of them. I didn't even know they were doing that.
Yeah, like every couple of days, the Survivor Instagram posts like one of the castmates' videos of their like casting video that they had submitted.
Interesting. That is a little bit terrifying to me. Like, I don't know that I would, I think it would, I have not applied for Survivor, but I think that it would change my video if I knew that it might get posted publicly for all of America to see versus just for producers to see.
Interesting.
I guess I don't know how it would. I would just be like, oh man, that's, I wonder if they knew that that was a possibility.
You put clothes on for the video?
Yeah, otherwise I'm going to be naked for Jeff.
Right. All right. So, do you have a luxury item this week?
I do. I actually am a little bit nervous. I think this is one of the only times that my luxury item is like a... It's reasonable that you might have planned the same luxury item.
Oh, I didn't.
Because you didn't plan one yet?
No, I have mine. Mine is typed out, ready to go. It's just, based off what you just said, it's not going to match mine.
Okay, I am, my luxury item is Momofuku noodles.
Hmm.
Our mother got both of us.
Our mother.
A bunch of Momofuku, like, ramen noodles for Christmas. And we've been having them more recently and experimenting with them. They're just, like, essentially high-end, like, better version of ramen noodles. But they also come with this like soy sauce and seasoning salt and chili crunchies, which is like a chili paste kind of,
chili crisp. That's that like chili crisp, like lots of companies make chili crisp. You can find that in the grocery store.
Oh, okay. It is all so good. So delicious every single time, super like quick and easy to make as a meal. And those chili crunchies, man, are so tasty. Big, big, big fan of that. Also, like, best soy sauce I've ever had. Big fan of Momofuku noodles. That's Momofuku.
If you do run out of the chili crunch and you're looking for more in the store, most other companies call it chili crisp.
Oh, that's good to know.
But yeah, you can find other versions of it that are also good. Yep, those noodles are very good. They work well in the big bowls that I've touted before on this podcast.
bit.ly/Chris Bowls.
Yeah. Was it Chris Bowls? Heron Bowls. Chris Bowls?
It was Chris Bowls, because I just recently was like, maybe we should get some Chris Bowls. So I looked them up.
There's some good bowls. My luxury item this week is also food, but it is shepherd's pie. I just made some shepherd's pie right before recording today. And it's great. Delicious. I went with a pretty traditional recipe, ground lamb, peas, carrots, corn, kind of like gravy, covered in mashed potatoes. Delicious.
Man, I don't know the bit from Friends well enough to throw out the other things that Rachel puts in the trifle.
It's like, but that, but then in between, it's like jam or cake something.
And jam, or yeah.
Yeah, listeners, let us know what's
is shepherd's pie, like, I've had shepherd's pie before. Is it it is like a pot pie, but not individualized. Yes.
Well, pot pie can also not be individualized. Like, you can have a big pot pie.
Oh, okay. But shepherd's pie usually has like a top crust on it, right?
Shepherd's pie's top is mashed potatoes.
Oh.
So how I know shepherd's pie.
That sounds delicious.
The way I know shepherd's pie, because I actually learned this recently, because Costco started selling huge pot pies and shepherd's pies. And both of which are good, but I bought the shepherd's pie and took it home, and I was like, this thing has a crust, like a bottom crust and a side crust and the mashed potatoes on top. And I was like, I've never had shepherd's pie with a crust. Turns out there's like a couple of regional variants, like an Irish version and like a Scottish version or something like that. So the way I know shepherd's pie is basically you do it in like a 9x13 pan or like a casserole dish, and it's just all the veggies and gravy and meat with no crust and just a layer of mashed potatoes on top that you bake in the oven to get them like crispy on top.
Gotcha. Okay. So and do you bake it? Do you like, do you put things in pre-cooked?
So then, yeah,
it together?
Yeah. Like the one I did, I actually was lazy and didn't want to dirty more dishes. So I did it in a big like Dutch oven I have, where in the Dutch oven, I cooked like onions and lamb.
Or ooh, you did use lamb? Like, that sounds amazing.
Like, that's like the traditional is like ground lamb, but you can do ground beef or whatever you want. And then threw it. So that like cooked, and then you add in like some broth and flour to thicken it up as like a gravy. And then threw in like frozen corn, peas, and carrots just to like get them until they warm up. And then, I mean, that's mostly it. There's like seasonings and stuff. And then separately while that was going, I made mashed potatoes and then just did a layer of mashed potatoes and then threw the whole pot in the oven for like 20 minutes, and I put it
that sounds delicious
under the broiler to crisp the top. It is really good and very warming comfort food. Yeah, and pretty easy. Like, it's a nice, if you don't want to go with like a full recipe, it's literally just like some meat and veggies and gravy and then mashed potatoes on top.
Maybe I'll make some shepherd's pie this week.
Yeah, check it out. Listeners, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com and let us know some foods you've been trying recently. We just talked about some nudes and pies. Let us know what you've been eating. Yeah, for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.